Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're going to be diving into the core, the unique selling point that each e-commerce site must have in order to scale, because we believe that many people move off from this important concept too early. So let's get started. Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Hi, Mark. Very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. This week I wanted to go back again to the core. So we've done one on offer architecture before, but I wanted to go a little bit deeper into that area. And the reason for that is because a lot of the people I'm talking to and mentoring and working with at the moment, some of them, and I think this is a tendency for everybody, is to go off piste too early. So getting very much focused on, you know, they start doing loads of SEO, or they start doing loads of paid and all that kind of stuff before they've got the core right. Because I think the core is obviously the most important thing to get right. The value proposition, the unique selling point. But it's also one of the hardest things to get your head around and to do. But it's just absolutely essential.
Yeah. I think if you get it right, then everything just works. You know, pay-per-click starts to work, email starts to work, social starts to work. You know, it's the core, it's the main thing. And I think, you know, it's taken us a bit of time to really pinpoint what those things are. And what we're talking about is the fundamental building block of your online business, your e-commerce business. Like, what is the route to scaling? And obviously people know, they know our framework, they know our dashboard, our add to basket checkout to order stat, average order value. But it's before that, actually. It's even before that. And we were chatting the other day on the back of two big strategic workshops with clients, and it came on the back of this, because what we're trying to do is find that scalable growth formula for these clients. You know, what is the thing that's going to help them grow? And you start to see, well, I think there's three fundamental ways that you can scale your e-commerce, like three core methods of actually growing. And so I'll go through them. So number one, you go down the branding route. So you go down like influencer route, you know, and that's branding. So you're trying to get people to know your brand through influencer marketing and the branded route. Number two, you have a product that solves a unique problem that no one else solves. Like something that is really, really unique. So let's say it's a baby grow that solves eczema for babies. You know, that's a unique problem that people are going to come to for that. And the third one is an irresistible offer. Like an offer that is just so, so good that, you know, it works. I think they're the three main areas. And you need to really, really understand what they mean. Like, what are we actually saying? You know, and some products will have a mixture of all three, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, would you say some overlap between...
There's definitely some overlap. Yeah. But if you think about it, it's like... And what Mark, you were saying before, is that, you know, people go off piece too soon. So they might not have even thought about what those three things are and how they work for their business. And they're, like, focusing on, you know, trying to do some, you know, plug in some widget, some thing that does something, where they actually haven't worked out. Well, do we want to go down the branding route? You know, can we go and afford to go and get a load of influencers or open a shop on, you know, in Oxford Street in London or do loads of brochure drops? Or can we do TV? Are we ever going to go and have £1 million worth of marketing budget to go down that branding route? So that's the first question. Because if you're not, and you don't have a product that is solving a unique problem like eczema for babies, then you've only got one option, and that is your offer, you know, your irresistible offer. But if you're in a position where you've got a really, really aspirational brand, let's say you are a high street brand name and you've got a very high ticket item, you haven't got a product that is, you're solving a unique problem, and you don't want to do an irresistible offer, then you've got to go down that branding route. You've got to go down the influencer, but be prepared to be spending big and for it to take a long time to do.
Sometimes it works when people are influencers themselves, and then they create a product, and
a lot of the fast fashion brands were born at the time when Instagram and Facebook were free. So they've gone down that influencer route. So look at them, Boohoo, Misguided, Pretty Little Thing. They were born around the influencer time when that was free. And that was they weren't solving a problem. You know, their products were not unique in any way. And they didn't really have an amazing offer architecture, irresistible offer. What they had was an amazing influencer brand route. But that's really hard now. And also they're massive. So they're spending loads of money on branding. So it's so fundamental, those three things. It really is key to get right.
And I think that if you look at the successes we've had, those big successes, it's been very much about getting that core right, getting that core offer right, and then putting that in front of a lot of people. And you can't really do it the other way around. You can't get a lot of people to come to your website and then figure out your offer, you know, your value proposition, because once you've understood what your offer is and what your value proposition, what your unique selling point is, you can then work out which people you need to bring to it, because it will obviously resonate with a certain type of people. And it's kind of like you've got to do it in that order, otherwise it doesn't work.
It's really key. And I think the more e-commerce brands that we meet, or more e-commerce businesses that we meet, the more we realize that it does fall into those, one of those three. Because you're basically saying to a client, well, okay, you know, and a lot of clients, like we were saying the other time in the podcast, are too protective about their brand that doesn't exist. We're saying, hey, why are you even trying to protect this? Because we say, well, you need to think about your welcome offer. And they were saying, we don't want to be a discounter because we don't want to ruin our brand. We don't have a brand. So we were saying you're being too protective. You know, you're being too cautious. So then you say, well, okay, if you don't want to go down that offer route, what are you going to do? Because you don't have a product that is unique in terms of it's not solving a problem. There's lots of other people like you selling that same type of thing. And you don't have a brand, and you haven't got any money to spend on your influencer brand strategy, well, that's just going to take too long. What are you going to do? There's nothing else.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you going to scale?
Especially if you're selling something. You're selling something exactly like someone else. I mean, if you're selling jumpers, for example, then why is someone going to buy in the market square? Why is someone going to buy that jumper off you rather than someone else? You know, it's not. You know, especially if it looks very similar, you haven't really got a brand, you know, you have to bundle it into something that becomes an exciting, interesting prospect for the person to buy today rather than tomorrow.
And that's where, let's take that example of a jumper. Okay. You are a e-commerce brand that's got these jumpers you want to sell online. Now, you could let's just say how you can apply all those three things in a little bit of a way. So you could focus on bamboo jumpers, or jumpers made out of some sort of, you know, organic, you know, coffin that is, you know, amazingly, you know, great at solving, it doesn't bubble, or, you know, it's sustainable or something like that, sustainable fair trade, you know, organic cotton, those sort of things. That's how you could try and create a product that is slightly unique. The other side of it is you can then put an offer on top of that to get people to come in and buy into it. And the other one, of course, is you can go and try to get some influencers to do it. So you can do all three.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, but ultimately,
I would say there's a lot of people trying to do that. The organic job.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, I think you, if you truly wanted to go down that first leg of having something unique, you'd have to go and have a jumper that did something completely different to something else, to someone else, you know, and it have to be something, you know, you have to be like a blue ocean strategy where you were the only person that did jumpers that that dried themselves or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, say you were doing a jumper for camping or something like that, self-drying jumper or something. So, you know, you've got a new material, et cetera, et cetera. The only material that did that. So the reason I say that is because I'm talking to a lot of people who have got sustainable fair trade stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's not enough.
They don't realize that is enough. That is enough to actually shift the product. Maybe it was when it first started, or maybe it's never been, because it, especially with jumpers, the desirability of the garment is, it needs to be enough to make people say they like fair trade, but when it actually comes to wearing something that makes them look good, they actually buy on those other aspects as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, totally. And so, you know, so if you're basically saying to somebody, well, look, if you don't have a product that is solving a unique problem, which is really rare, which actually most clients will fall into this, they'll fall into the fact that their product is not unique, there's other people selling it like, then you've really got two options. You either go down the influencer branding route, or you go down the offer architecture.
Yeah. And also,
and it
will then display itself in the KPIs, won't it? If you've not got it right, you will have weak KPIs. You'll have weak add to basket. You'll have weak basket to order. You'll have high bounce rates on your product category and homepage. And it'll feed into that. And then you'll be able to benchmark those and you go, well, obviously something is wrong with our core offer because all of our metrics are subpar. And therefore we need to get these up.
And I think that you can, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. You can go and spend, you know, £100,000 on an amazing photo shoot. You know, you can have the most amazing site in the world, but if you don't answer that fundamental core question of like, what is going to be our thing? What is our method of scaling? It's not going to work.
And I think if you get confused about that, what that is, the best thing to do is to go and find competitors who have nailed it and really dive into why. Like, let's say you find someone else selling jumpers en masse online. You then have to dive into, what is it that they're putting together? Is it the fact that they've got a lot of reviews that people are saying that, you know, that their jumpers are great? And if so, what are they saying? What's coming across? What offers are they putting together? How quickly are they delivering it? What's the returns policy? What is their offer architecture? Because very much it's like a tipping point where you get the sale or you don't. If you start getting sales, it's very different from getting no sales at all. And there's actually a big gulf between the two. No sales and starting to get sales is actually a really wide gulf. You think, oh, it is a tipping point when you start getting those sales, because you're in front of the same traffic as the competitors. And therefore you start talking to those people in a way that makes them convert. And maybe you might convert like a subset of them first, but then you know you're quite onto something. And then if you can just wiggle that.
Well, do you know what? I think we can probably share that a little story there. If we were working with a client that is a regular listener to these podcasts. And, you know, we were trying to work out the thing to scale their business. And they were selling baby clothes online. And we won't mention the name, but... But essentially, they were, you know, they were really trying to work out how to actually scale again. And so what we did is looked at all the guys that were spending big and successfully spending on the paid channels. And there was only one or two, but there was one main one that was spending, and we looked at what they were spending on, and they're spending on one particular ad for one particular product, and that was personalized baby grows. And they were the ones that were really scaling, and that because they were spending lots of money. So, you know, there's the answer.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing, isn't it? Because, you know, and that is solving a problem that you can't get that on the high street. No one else was doing it. It was unique. You know, it was fun. You know, they didn't have a big brand. They're not going to go and do an irresistible offer because it devalued it. And it's, you know, that was their thing. And then they've got something to grab hold of, and then they can then go for it to start recruiting customers. And then, of course, when you recruit customers, then you can start to build a brand, and then you can start to get your lifetime customer value up.
It's good.
You need that thing
wave
at the start. Yeah, you need that thing. Yeah, catching a wave. Yeah.
Catching a wave. And you need to ride it. And you might find as a business you've caught one wave that is kind of finishing. And you've got to be on the lookout for the next one. Obviously, you want to catch it before the wave completely finishes. But it's, I mean, there's that famous, what's that big supermarket guy is, you know, in the US. I can't remember his name. And he built the supermarket, and it was Walmart or the other guy. And he, when he was building his supermarkets, he would drive in his car most evenings, go across to the state lines, and then go to the supermarkets, other supermarkets, and look what was working. And he was obsessed with it. And he was just seeing what was selling, what wasn't selling, what they were doing. And he just was just finding out exactly what the customers are wanting at any one time. And I was thinking about that this morning in terms of, you know, if I could see one competitor was doing really well, and I wanted to really understand who they were, then I would go even as far as monitoring their reviews that they were having each week to give me an idea of exactly what was selling. So, you know, I'd have one of my VAs look at their reviews each week, see where the new reviews were coming on, and then saying, well, if only, you know, 5% of people who buy the product review it, that means probably they're selling this amount of products. So how does that differ to last month? What are they selling this month? What are they selling last month? What was the offer? What was out in the email? Like, I'd be really, really obsessed.
And it's actually a lot easier to do that nowadays because online, all the answers are there in front of you. You know, we can see who's bidding on what traffic. You know, we can see who's spending big, who's appearing high in the right positions for AdWords, Google Shopping. You know, and you can look at the reviews as well of all these companies. And you can actually even see, you know, how ridiculous is this? You can even see what the customers think about your competitors and how they can even improve. And where they're going wrong. You can even see why people get cross with your competitors. You know, if they're all saying, oh God, actually, they said it was going to be next day, but it wasn't. It was 3 days. You know, and, or the packaging's terrible, or I won't be buying again.
You know, accessories that come with this product. Or, you know, it is all there. And I think that as e-commerce runners, we get overwhelmed with the possible things that we could do. But if there's one thing we should do well, it is be a really good detective into what is working. And I think you could probably survive by just doing that, if that was all you did. If you got that core right, you know, you can then go and get other people to do the other stuff. As long as you're doing that bit right, because then it means you buy the right stuff.
Yeah, well, I was in the meeting with the client last week, and we were laughing because I was saying, look, we've never come up with an original idea in our lives. You know, everything that Mark and I do, we just copy from other people who were doing it better. We go, oh, that's good. Yes, That works. Yeah. And then you apply that to your own industry. You don't need to do anything completely unique. You just need to know what's working, because you're just going to save yourself so much time.
Yeah. And also, it's the country. I mean, don't just look at the UK. If you can't find someone in the UK selling your product, there's Australia, there's New Zealand, there's America, there's a whole world out there of e-commerce that you can go and mine data from. And, you know, people have made millions by taking something from America that's working in America and bringing it to the UK. And that's all they've done. And people have certainly done that in New Zealand. Mm. They've gone, taken someone from, you know, someone in, when Groupon came out in the UK and America, someone came out with GrabOne here and made millions from it. Mm-hmm. And it was literally a clone.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of the secrets that everybody's looking for, they're right in front of them if they want to look.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, I think that's quite an interesting one to say, you know, what is the thing that's going to help us scale the business? And this is almost like before the maths, isn't it? Because a lot of the time clients come to us and say, look, we're doing £1 million already. We want to get to 3. And then you've got data to look at. You know, you've got the stats. You can see the KPIs. But if it's before, but even then, we would still go back. We would say the same things. We still say, look, you know, either you've got to go down the influencer branding route, or you've got to go down, you've got to get your offers right, your offer architecture, and your value proposition right, going to the market square.
Yeah. You know, and I think when they get to like 5 million or something, then the team's got so big that the original founder who used to do that has either lost interest or has diluted what they're doing, because they've got so much focus with other stuff. But if you actually talk to them about what they did at the beginning, they would be saying, well, you know, I've spotted this product and I saw this was selling really well, but I noticed that people actually wanted it like this, and so I was doing that. And it's like, well, why aren't you still doing that? Because that's the most important part in your business. Let other people do the other stuff. But if that's, because it's like our business, there's certain things that you and I can do, Ian, that nobody can do. And if we get pulled away from that, then our business doesn't grow, because no one's ever going to be able to do those particular things that we can do, because of the nature of who we are and the experience we have.
It's really getting into the reason why.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, why you exist.
Yeah.
You know, why buy from you? I think asking that question, why buy from you?
Yeah. I don't think people avoid it because it's a hard question. Mm. But if you do knock your head against it every day, you will get an answer. You will find out. And you've got to go off beast.
Yeah, because the answers are there. And I think that's why people enjoy meeting us, because we will ask and think about those things. Because I think a lot of the brands, a lot of the e-commerce sites, they've fallen in love with the idea of it, and they've fallen in love with their logo, their brand, their imagery. Mm. You know, they fall in love with it. So to them, they feel like it's like, why wouldn't anyone buy? This is amazing. And it's like, well, you know, from the outside, you're looking at it and you're going, well, no, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. Your products look quite pretty, but, you know, yeah, you might have organic cotton, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Mm. So then you start to look at who has scaled and what wave they rode.
Yeah,
and that
I think.
And starts to formulate this vision and this plan. And on the back of that, then you can set your KPIs, your average order value, your traffic, your add-to-basket stats. You can then start to see it.
Yeah. And I think the reason people, like you're saying, weavers and people want, like, you know, get value from meeting with us is not because we're smarter than everybody else, but because of the sheer volumes of e-commerce sites we see every day and get exposed to, is that when someone comes to us and say, well, what is my USP? We'll go, why aren't you doing this? Because there's this company here really scaling really well, and we've seen these guys do really well, and they've doing this. Mm. We just know the model so much more that therefore, if there is a model to have, we've probably seen it before, and we probably understand how it works. And that's it. That's all we've got is just that knowledge of seeing all those hundreds and hundreds of e-commerce sites that we've seen.
Yeah, it's just speed of learning. It's like because you sat around the table for the last 15 years with every day talking about e-commerce growth. You learn so fast, and that's it, isn't it? You know, when you're working in isolation in your own company, your silo, you're only looking at what you're doing. You know, you don't know.
Well, you also don't know. You'll be in that e-commerce and say you'll move companies. You will think that the elephant is like a foot, an elephant's foot. I mean, you won't have a feelment for the whole elephant. But we've been slapped in the face so many times with different e-commerce sites that we've got a view of the whole elephant.
Mm. And you take responsibility. Big. You know, we've always put ourselves in the client's shoes and we said, well, what would we do? You know, how would we invest? If this was our business, what would we do? And follow that advice. And we can't do anything other than that because that's just the core way that we work. So you get to see it, and it's like that. You know, it was just dawning on us that there's got to be a mechanism. You know, there's no point being deluded and pretending that we're an amazing brand. You know, an e-commerce brand that you can scale. You're not.
I see a lot of the Shopify stores going down the route of thinking. Not getting the core right and adding every single extension they can possibly add to the store, thinking that will be enough. You know, they'll do social proof things and they'll do live chat and then chat that does messenger and offer pop-ups and then those wheels things where it goes, you get you spin the wheel and see which offer you get. And it's like, you can't dress up something that's not there. That was all I really wanted to talk about, Ian. I just wanted to kind of get that core, bring everybody back onto the ski slope, come off piste, get into your core, and make sure you're getting that right first. And also keep coming back to that, because that is where the money is, and that is where your growth is, and that's where your happy face is. So come back to that stage.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, guys. And please watch the case study video. It's in the show notes. It goes through a typical case study of someone who's grown an e-commerce site with us, going through all the 8 KPIs. And if you haven't watched it yet, please do. And I look forward to speaking to you all next time.